really big thank you to you, church. On Tuesday, when I woke up, I was kind of aware, like, I don't think we have any volunteers for the community supper on Saturday night. So as many of you would have received this email saying, hey, church, if we can go ahead with this, we'll need some volunteers. And last night, we were, like, volunteered to the rooftop. And so thank you. I was talking to some people last night and said, it will be okay if some night we can't do a community supper. It will be okay. But we don't want it to be okay if it doesn't have to end. And so thank you for serving. And I just want to give a picture. Someone commented last night that it seemed maybe a little slower, a little more peaceful. But what actually has transitioned is you as a church have begun the process of helping people not be anxious, our neighbors not be anxious, if there will be enough food. So on Thursdays during food distribution, people line up really early to get a number, to come in to pick up some food. And they come and they have to get a number and they have to wait sometimes for an hour. And why they have to do that is to figure out how much food each person can come in and get. So there's, as you can imagine, there's a sense of, I want to be here first. I want to make sure that I get stuff because I'm hungry for this week. And what we're seeing is for our first three community suppers, people were out front at 4:30, half an hour before we were ready. And last night, people came at 5, 5:15. We just flowed on in. We found a place at the table. We enjoyed some conversation and food together. And so bless you. We're doing God's love. We're doing his work. And that's exciting. And it's beyond feeding tummies. It's about relationship and knowing each other's names and laughing together and enjoying a night. So I just really want to say thank you, church. And we're going to continue, as Rach said, we're going to continue to do our monthly dinners and get to know each other better through that way. Kids, you're most welcome to go off to Sunday school. Kids time, have a great time. Thanks, leaders, for serving in that way. Let's pray together. God, hopefully we can say it is good to gather this morning. God, hopefully we can acknowledge within our lives your love for us, your knowledge of us, that you created us fearfully and wonderfully, that we are not in any way a mistake. I thank you that you created us with ability, with passions, with talents. And that you created us with those things to make a difference, to be your light and to be your salt. And so this morning as we listen, God, I pray that we would be courageous listeners with our ears and then be courageous people with our hands and our feet and our hearts and our faith throughout this coming days and weeks. We pray this in your name. Amen. So Mother Teresa has a beautiful quote, and if you know anything about Mother Teresa, I think her sphere of influence is like huge, right? So we know of this woman who made an incredible difference, but if you've ever had a chance to hear an interview of her or to read her work, she deeply, deeply humble woman. And one of her quotes that I value deeply is, it says, help one person at a time and always start with the person nearest you. So you would wonder with a woman who had such great influence that she might say, you know, only when you have a group of 1,000 do you start to influence them, or you wait until you have a great big audience and people who are really capable of doing what you're asking them to do. But instead, Mother Teresa directs us to what I think Scripture really models for us, which is help one person at a time and always start with a person or the issue, we could say, that is nearest to you. A teacher friend of mine, their mantra when they taught was love the student in front of you. And so that it just allowed them as a teacher to say, it's going to be the person, the student that's standing in front of me, that's where for that moment my love is going to go. And then you can imagine the influence that that teacher has. We also want to look at, I mean, we're going to continue on with this whole sense of courage and biblical courage by what I'm hoping to do today is weave scriptural narratives in with narratives, stories, examples from our community around us. And part of this always echoes the verse that Rachel led us through in a fun way this morning about being strong and courageous and do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. It's this promise that as we take a step of faith, a step of courage, that we don't go out there alone. That God really is ahead of us in this one, but we can have this picture that God is with us. And we want to just acknowledge that we want to. I'm encouraging us to face just what's in front of you. It's just what is in front of you. I think sometimes we don't go and do things that we think are courageous because we're looking so far ahead and the task becomes monumental. And so we actually never take a step towards it because we don't think that we can do it. So face what is in front of you, because maybe that's what God really is calling you to do next. And just a simple thing that we might want to think about this week is that we want to see things as opportunities, not as obstacles. And again, this is how we're framing our minds. If I'm thinking constantly, oh, that's too big for me, or I don't think we'll get anywhere with that, I don't think it can be done, maybe we won't have enough volunteers, maybe we'll run out of money, maybe I'm not skilled enough. If we keep looking at the obstacles, again, we won't step into the things that are in front of us. And so we need to look for the opportunities. And I would say take chances and be really prayerful. And the two want to go hand in hand, side by side. But I'm going to actually say today, church, sometimes take the chance and then bring the prayer into that. Because sometimes, again, we use prayer as this thing that slows us down. Oh, I don't know if I heard yet. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do this yet. Maybe it's not the right time, and God will give me a bigger sign. And I say, church, let's just jump in. Let's take that opportunity and go with that. God created us to be courageous. He is. He tells us to be strong and courageous. He wants us to do that. And what I want to do is I want to look at a couple of things around us that started with what people had and with what was in front of them. So don't drink and drive. It's a slogan that most of us know, and I'm hoping all of us attend to that. But, you know, MAD was actually founded in 1980 by a woman named Candy Leitner, and what she was is she was a grieving mother. Her teenage daughter was killed by a drunk driver. This is what Candy had. She had her grief. She had her deep anger, I'm assuming. And what she decided to do was to take her grief and to take her anger and to take this hope that no other parent has to suffer through this. And she put that into action and she created this slogan. And what she's also done with the help now of others is she's petitioned courts and laws have been changed. We're more aware. Drunk driving has decreased incredibly. I just want to say this. It says that through some scientific formula, that Canada has understood that MAD Canada has been responsible for saving approximately 36,642 lives between 1982 and 2010. 36,000 plus lives, because this woman took her grief and took what was in front of her and did something very, very courageous. On Wednesday of this week, some of you might work or be in an environment where lots of people put on pink shirts. So it's called Pink Shirt Day now. And this Pink Shirt Day was started by some teenagers in Nova Scotia. And what happened was they saw not even a friend of theirs, but a grade 9 boy came to school on the first day of the school year in a pink shirt, and he was bullied and he was tormented. And on that day, these three young boys, they decided this is not going to happen anymore and we're going to stand up for this boy. And so these teenagers went downtown Nova Scotia to the dollar store and they bought 50 pink tank tops and they got in touch with all their friends and they said, tomorrow we'll be in the foyer, grab a pink t-shirt and we're going to stand with this kid that was bullied. And what it said is this beautiful thing. It said, finally someone stood up for the weaker kid. And as these kids stood in the foyer handing out the shirts, the bullied boy walked in, and his face spoke volumes. It looked like a huge weight was lifted off his shoulders, and the bullies were never heard from again. This could have ended in that foyer of that school. Three boys did something very brave to say, we love you, we support you. But instead, because of their act of courage doing what was right in front of them, it's now a national day. And what's happening is we're hoping we bring awareness to bullying and we bring a decrease to bullying. And kids who are bullied, they're having a voice. And they can look around and see a sea of pink shirts and know that they're not alone and that they matter and that they count. And lots of money is being raised. Jeff here is a teacher in our local board. Our family happened to have the great honor of Jeff taught our son when Jordan was in grade 3. And Jeff has a physical disability. He talks about he has a physical difference. He was born with a left hand that has one thumb and a finger and a right arm that goes just below his elbow. And Jeff is like this teacher extraordinaire. Changed Terry and my life and changed Jordan's life as well. Got us on a really good course around understanding disability and courage. And what Jeff decided to do is he's always asked, because Jeff presents. He has two arms that end basically at the elbow. So kids look at him, adults look at him. And what he decided to do just this school year is say, hey, why don't I become someone that can teach and make a difference in the world of disability just in my school? So Jeff put out this Twitter challenge. And this Twitter challenge took off. And we're going to see a video clip. But what's happened now is that it's an awareness. He took what was actually, he took his disability, his difference as a gift, and he put out what was in front of him and said, let's see if we can make a difference in the world of the disabled. We're going to look at this and talk about it a little bit. This is Jeff here. We hope it will work. Maybe it won't. What do we think? It's okay. If it doesn't, that's okay. So this is Jeff. And the question was, how do people with disability tie a shoe? How is that possible? Kids would say to him, can you tie a shoe? Does your mom tie a shoe, your shoes for you? Do you have laces on
it
your shoes?
It stems from a question that I get asked almost on a daily basis. That question is, Mr. Here, can you tie your shoes? So we're going to ask you to try tying your shoes like I tie my shoes. So remember, you need to try to use two fingers and you need to try to use just part of one of your arms. Now, a modification or adaptation that might work is trying to place a mitten over one of your hands and not allowing yourself to use those fingers on that hand that you would feel like you normally use. So I'll show you how I do it, and then challenge is yours to take on. Here we go. And there it is. Terry Fox's shoe is officially tied. Good luck.
Awesome. So what happened is Jeff started one challenge, then another one, and then kids kept coming up to Jeff and saying, well, how do you do this? And what about a blind person? How could they do that? And what about a person in a wheelchair? And then kids started tweeting these, I don't know if that's right, tweeting these challenges, and it exploded. So Jeff was in the Record, he happened to be in a paper in Hamilton, he was on the local news, and he was on Canadian news. And what this does is he took what was in front of him, and he put forth a challenge, and we learned something. And now, in the world of the disabled, this generation coming up, they'll have a different look. They won't say, poor you, or I don't think you can do that. They're going to go, wow, you can do that. I'm amazed at what you can actually do with your difference. Who could have thought that Jeff would take his difference, his disability, and use it to be so courageous and to make such a widespread impact? Took what he had, took what was in front of him. We're so delighted, Lee Steckley, that you're back and you're healing up, and we say, welcome back. Yay, Lee. And thank you guys for praying for Lee as he healed from a broken hip. And a number of you will know that Lee and Lois give great leadership to Bowls for Haiti. Their son and daughter-in-law were in Haiti doing missions work. And Lee and Lois thought, well, what can we do from afar, basically? What can we do here to make a difference in impoverished Haiti? And so what did they do? They said, oh, we have friends who are potters. I'm a potter. I really like soup. Knows lots of people who make soup. They have friends who are musicians. And they so created this. A number of years ago, in 2006, they created this evening, and it was for reforestation in Haiti. They did what was in front of them with what they had. They had no idea how big it would grow. The last 2 years, it's been sold out, and to date, they've raised between $60,000 and $70,000 to plant trees in Haiti. Amazing. What a difference that would make for the Haitian people, because people stepped in with courage. And they decided we can do something about this. When we move over to the stories of Scripture, I want us to look at some of the stories that I think talk about bravery. And bravery or courage with what was right in front of the people and with the skill set that they had. And we're going to look at David. And I'm not going to go immediately to the David, you know, defeated this great big giant. Because that's like, oh, I do not have courage to do that, maybe. But I want to look at what led David up to this place. So if you know the story in Samuel 17, there's this massive giant, they called him. And he'd go out every morning and basically yell at the weaklings and say, oh, I'm so much bigger than you and I could defeat you, you little wimps. And everybody was afraid of him. It said that they all just ran and they cowered and they said, you probably could. You are really big. I don't think we can do anything about it. So we're not going to take a stand. And then David was young and he was a shepherd. And he came up to Saul at the time, who was a big king, and said, you know, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine, your servant. I will go and fight him. Courage. And Saul said, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth. But what happens is David says, this is what I have in front of me, and this is my skill set. David said to Saul, oh, I, your servant, have been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And you can continue reading that story in Samuel 17, 1 Samuel 17. But what we want to look at there is David didn't come out and go, oh, I can do it, or I'm better than everybody else. He also didn't run and cower. But what he said is, I know how to use a slingshot. And this slingshot has worked for me before. I have to protect sheep from the enemies. And so I can use this skill that I have, and I can do something great and something courageous. And that made an incredible difference for the people around, because they needed to get rid of Goliath. They needed to get rid of this enemy that was standing in their way. In Mark 2, we read a story about a man who was paralyzed, and Jesus was in town. And it says, a few days later, when Jesus again came to Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and Jesus was preaching the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by the four of them. So these men came. So what they had is they had a friend, probably, someone that they knew who was paralyzed, who couldn't get to this meeting of Jesus. There were four of them. And they had a mat. And a mat has four corners. And so each of them took a corner, which was right in front of them, and they carried this man in front of Jesus. What did they have? They had love. They had a man with an issue, and they knew the power of Jesus. And so they picked up the mat, and since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat that the man was laying on. And what happens here is Jesus forgave the man's sin, and then someone challenged about, is this really about, you know, just forgiving his sins? And then Jesus says to the man, get up, take your mat, and walk. I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And so the man got up, he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of everyone, and they were amazed, and they praised God. Four people picked up a corner of a mat, carried a person to Jesus, and that man's life was changed forever. Healing came. They did that which was just in front of them. And they had to go to some efforts. We're going to have to go to some efforts. Whatever it meant to dig a hole in a roof and drop someone down, I have no idea. But they had to do a little bit of effort, and it changed someone's life. And then the word spread. People were amazed. And that's what happens. People will become amazed at the work of God. When we step in and do an act of courage and things happen, then God's name will be praised. But sometimes we don't know what to do, and we have lots of things that go through our mind. So I look at these four men, and they could have said, well, it's pretty crowded. First of all, it's so crowded. We're never going to get this friend of ours in the front of Jesus. Let's wait for another day. So they missed that opportunity. Or they could say, oh, Jesus is a pretty big guy. Like, he's pretty important. I don't think that we should be going in front of him. Who are we? And so they might not have done that. They might not have continued. They might have been embarrassed. They might not have wanted to push their way to the front of a crowd or dig a hole in someone's roof, as it were. We have all these things that we can say, all these obstacles that we can look at, but really, again, what we want to be doing is taking that act of courage and understanding differences are made. All the people that we talked about from our community and the scripture stories that we're looking at, they don't know the end of the story. Those kids who bought pink t-shirts from Dollarama down in the East Coast, they didn't know that it was going to start this great big day across Canada and raise lots of money. Lee and Lois didn't know how many forests were going to be planted because they filled pottery bowls with soup. We don't know the end of the story. We're just invited to take our first steps of courage. Lots of you here have jobs. You're employed, and you're supposed to follow the rules of employment as best that you can. We're going to look at a story from Exodus 1 that talks about women who were employed, and they had rules to follow, but they were given a rule that they knew they should not follow, and that was an act of courage. Good morning. And so we're going to meet these two midwives. Talks about, like, really, there was a lot of problems going on. Pharaoh was really, really worried that he was going to be defeated because there were so many people being born that were going to end up being against him. And so what was happening is that the midwives were helping with the birth of Hebrew boys and girls, and this was a problem because there was lots of reproducing going on. And Exodus 1 says, the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names are Shiphrah and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew woman during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? And the midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and they give birth before the midwives even arrive. Great line. And so God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, God gave them gave them families of their own. And out of this becomes the birth of Moses, and Moses is this great and incredible leader that we needed and we returned to learn lessons from him. The midwives had to make a choice. And it was no easy choice. I'm assuming that being fired by Pharaoh was pretty extreme. I'm assuming they knew what difficulties could come their way, but they made the courageous choice. A little shout out here to girl power. I think it's quite curious, actually, that Pharaoh said, let the girls live, and it's the females who are smart enough to let the boys live. And so we've got, like, incredibly courageous women. In scripture, there's not a lot of women heroes. These are women heroes. They're mentioned, you know, it's like two sentences, but these women made an incredible difference. They stood up. So in your jobs, in your volunteer roles, you can make a difference. We're always challenged and called to do that which is right. We're invited in to be those people of integrity, of faith, and of courage, and we can make a difference like these midwives made a difference. So again, what we want to do is I invite us to take the step that's right in front of us. And if we're going to do that, we need to be people who are aware. We need to be looking around and seeing what is in front of me. Who is in front of me? What challenge is in front of me? What small thing might I be able to do just in this moment that will make a difference for that person or that cluster of people? And then let's see what will happen when God does that. And church, again, I want to celebrate who you are, who we are. I think you're doing really, really brave things. Bravery sometimes is saying, we just choose to step in and be brave to make a difference. What you're doing is you're sacrificing your time. You're believing that you're tithing, you're giving generously to the church, and believing that by giving generously and feeding kids and feeding neighbors and being a presence in the neighborhood, that we're going to make a difference because we're inviting God to be here. You're doing that in your lives as generous, generous people as a church. And what we're doing is we're modeling that to the kids. I read an article this week about how many people, their first act of volunteering was through a role that the church gave them. And so last night was this incredible, this young grade 10 girl came in and she said, I don't want to eat alone, but I'd love to help. And so we can invite her to come in and help. And all of a sudden what happens is she said, can I use these towards my high school volunteer hours? Well, church, we're saying yes. And this young girl is going to have trouble finding a place to volunteer. And so just one little act of sure you can come in and help. And yes, we'll put our initials on a paper is making a difference and paving a way for her. Doing what's in front of us, seeing what's in front of us. When you don't feel like you're the one, or when you don't feel like you have enough of what is needed to do what's in front of you, I encourage you to go to scripture, to go to prayer, and to go to someone else and ask them about that. Some of us want to link arms with someone else. It might be, will you come along and help me do this? Or do you see this need as well? Or you might want to ask someone else, how do you think this might happen? Or do you think that this will make a difference? It's probably in the last 18 months, there's a woman who just says, recognizes diapers are really important. So in the fall, she put out a call to our women's group and said, you know, Chandler Moat could use some diapers. And so the women's group was bringing in diapers, and someone from the women's group said, oh, I've got a whole bunch of friends I could send an email out to. And so they collected a bunch of diapers, and we just laughed. So Lynn, who is a resource worker here, had cracked up because we filled half a room with diapers. And so she didn't need to ask for diapers anymore for 6 months. And that means that people who walk in, and diapers are a need, and I want to talk about a need. You and I, if we're privileged enough to be able to buy diapers, if we have a child that needs diapers, we change the diapers when the diapers need changing. For people that are on a tight budget, you know, you skip a diaper change often. And so just think about that. Kids are able to have diapers. They're able to feel fresh and healthy. And that's by someone saying, I can bring diapers in, and invite someone else to bring diapers in, and they invite someone else to bring diapers in. Those are little things put in front of us that make an incredible difference. And what we can know is when we take the step that's right in front of us, we can also know, just as we sang this morning, that God has been with us up until that point. And I encourage you to look back and say, well, what have I done with courage, with love, with prayer, that's made a difference? And so God has actually prepared me. God has skilled me. God has given me an ability to meet a need, to serve something that's in front of me. And God won't fail, because God just invites us to do these wonderful things. He invites us to be world changers, community changers, one at a time. And then we'll let God see what happens in that multiplication. Let's pray together as the band comes up. God, I'm always so grateful that you are a team player, God. I'm always so grateful that though you know all, you invite us to be creative. You invite us to be courageous observers, and you invite us to step in and to make a difference. God, help us today to understand that this is for each one of us. Each one of us has the capacity, because of you, to change a life. Help us, God, to start, if we're called to start, with what's just in front of us. God, if there's people here today that are called and stretched to do something that might even seem greater than that, give them just an abundance of courage. Help us to be a church encouraging others to step into these places, God. And help us to rejoice. Help us to rejoice in pink t-shirts and in a teacher who teaches us how to tie a shoe differently, in bowls that are filled with soup and therefore plant a whole bunch of trees, in drunk drivers being on the decrease and creating safer roadways and highways, God. Help us to see that all these things started out as small seeds planted and deep, deep roots of deep, deep change and floods of justice have been created. And may we say, I'll sign up. I'll do that which is in front of me. Help us to be strong. Help us not to be discouraged. Help us to know that you're with us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Sorry, I'm being prompted, and so I was just trying to ignore it.